Okay, we're going to talk about controlling hypertension. Now, I want to just set the stage a little bit, and that sounds too loud.
We got our sound here.
Okay. So when I thought about what I was going to say, this is a little different from what we've done before. We've talked more about the pathophysiology and things. We're talking about controlling blood pressure this time. And so as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about who are going to be the people in the audience. There are multiple different groups, really, in this audience. I'm sure there are parents who have children who either don't have or at least right now do not have high blood pressure. There are parents who have children who are affected with polycystic kidney disease and have high blood pressure. And then there are adults who may be a spouse, a parent, but may or may not have it and may be at different stages. So there's a whole range of people that I'd like to talk to with this. And so as we go through, I'm going to try to remember to point out in certain cases where, well, this may be for everybody, this may not be. So keep me on my toes. You can help me with that. So what are the, standing back, what are the implications of hypertension in ADPKD? And I'm really going to talk ADPKD, certainly the most common. I'm not a pediatrician. I don't have expertise with ARPKD, but much of what I'll tell you about blood pressure will be true for everybody, the general public, in fact. Okay, when there is hypertension in ADPKD, this is typically very early onset, so it precedes the loss of kidney function. And in that context, okay, I've got to learn this. In that context, I have to find my marker here. There we go. Earliest indicator of renal disease. So that will come up before anything else is evident. We'll talk a little bit about why that is. It is also somewhat of a marker of disease severity, in part duration, how long you've had it, it's been progressing. And so hypertension tends to get worse with progression of disease. What I really, really want to focus on is the fact that hypertension, which I'm going to define in a minute, is in fact a mediator, a cause of cardiovascular injury. This is entirely independently of any kidney disease. This is true whether or not you have kidney disease. And this becomes particularly important when you have kidney disease, because kidney disease by itself also contributes to increased risk for cardiovascular injury. Okay, so these are two separate things in a way. They're certainly connected in that the kidney disease causes the high blood pressure, but each one independently can have an impact to adversely affect the cardiovascular system. It is also the most treatable and reversible risk factor in the polycystic kidney disease setting. We can do something about it. I can do something about it as a physician by educating and using medications, but you can do something about it by the lifestyle choices you make. And so I'm really going to take time to review those. So why? To reduce cardiovascular disease risk. And perhaps less dramatically, but importantly, to slow the renal progression of disease. Okay, and that's going to be my theme. We'll talk a little bit about the mechanisms of hypertension. We understand a fair number of things. This will pick up to some degree related to some of the things you heard this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about the early onset issue and how it precedes the loss of kidney function. I really want to focus on choices that you can make, that perhaps you make as a family, that can overall reduce the appearance or slow, delay the onset of high blood pressure, and have you in better shape should polycystic kidney disease be in your future, that then is going to come later down the line. Talk a little bit about what blood pressure targets and the various benefits of some of reducing blood pressure from the cardiovascular and renal standpoints, and a little bit about the blood pressure medications. And I will be here for the full meeting, and so I'm around. I love to talk to you and answer questions. And so I'm not going to take questions during the talk because I won't get through, but I'm happy to any time later. So we have to start basic. I saw there were a lot of new people here, not attended these meetings before. What is hypertension? I think we need to be on the same page. We're talking about blood pressure. And blood pressure is the pressure, the hydrostatic pressure, within our arteries. Now, we have arteries and veins, but we're specifically talking about the pressure in the arteries, which is a high-pressure system, in contrast to the venous side of our circulation, which is a low pressure. So it's pressure within the arteries, and it's generated by the forceful pumping of blood by the heart into that closed vascular space. That's what we mean by blood pressure. Hypertension, or high blood pressure, interchangeable terms, is fairly arbitrarily defined in the sense of the absolute level, but not without data to back it up, because over the years, we've periodically redefined what high blood pressure is because we've learned more about its adverse health impacts. And we've done this in clinical trials, so there's a tremendous amount of data, clinical trial data, supporting the kinds of things I'm going to show you. And one of the things that we've learned is that the same blood pressure level is not necessarily optimum in every person. And the more you're at risk for cardiovascular disease, the lower the level of blood pressure that would be considered appropriate for you. So as we've evolved, we've begun to take these things into account. So you may have seen the next couple of slides, and in fact, Dave wrote an article for the news, for the Progress magazine, and we worked together on this, and we used these diagrams. So what are the features of the blood pressure waveform? If I took a little probe and put it in your artery, and I could graph out the levels of pressure that were occurring over time, I would see something like this. So every time the heart beats, the pressure in the artery would rise. At the end of the heartbeat, the heart relaxes, the pressure starts to fall again. It keeps falling until the next heartbeat. So you can see that you have this waveform of the normal pressure, and the very top of that we call the systolic pressure, the high level, and the low point is the diastolic pressure. And you might hear us talk about something called the mean pressure or mean arterial pressure, and that's a point between there that's calculated in a way that you don't need to know. But our conventional notation is that we write the level of the systolic blood pressure slash and then the level of the diastolic blood pressure. So that's what we mean. And now our guidelines tell us that for an adult blood pressure to be truly normal, it needs to be less than 120 on the systolic and less than 80 on the diastolic. Okay, and that's just recent. We used to say it was less than 140 over 90. Things are changing. Now, the reason this has changed is, again, because of clinical trial data. And so this is the classification that we're using now, and it comes from a commission, the Joint National Commission on Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Blood Pressure. And we just call it JNC, and the number. And over the years, they meet every 5 years. So we're now on JNC7, and that's where these recommendations come from. So you can see that I've got the blood pressure level along here, and that to be truly normal, your systolic, your high point, has to be less than 120, and your diastolic pressure has to come down to under 80. That's considered normal. The way we define high blood pressure is still pretty much the same. Overt high blood pressure means systolic is equal to or over 140 millimeters mercury for the systolic, 90 millimeters of mercury for the diastolic. So here are the red lines.